I guess I'll go ahead and start with the announcements. I don't have a lot. Basically, this is class 5 of 6 for transforming problems. And so next week, which is Monday, August 24th, that will be our last class for this particular module. And then we jump right into Don Hendrick's visit. Hendrick's visit, and he will be with us teaching from Tuesday the 25th of August through the 30th. So if you want more information about those classes and what he'll be teaching on, go ahead and see the Kadampa Center website. And there's a nice streaming banner with pictures. One of them is all about his teaching. And another part of that banner is also the August calendar. And as I've mentioned before, that's a really great place to see what's happening and what's coming up on the Kadampa Center virtual calendar. There's a lot going on for us to be virtual. I'm so impressed with how much is still happening with Kadampa Center. So yay. Next, we'll start Discovering Buddhism's module on Wisdom of Emptiness. So that won't start until September 14th. So we're going to start the Monday after Labor Day. And that will run for 6 weeks. And that program will be taught by Hemant. And let's see here. Oh, don't forget, whether you're joining us on Zoom or on YouTube, please use the chat box to ask questions or leave comments. And I think now we can go ahead and get started. So, Robbie, I'm going to turn it right over to you.
Okay. Thank you very much. And good evening, everyone. As Linda said, this is our 5th of 6 classes. The module is titled Transforming Problems. And this is the teachings that are known as Lojong. In the Buddhist tradition, this is a whole large group of teachings that can be traced back to the actual sutras of the Buddha, though they're in kind of obscure format there, and they've been organized since then by different teachers, and we are using the text called the 8 Verses of Thought Transformation, which was written by Geshe Longrig Tampa in the 11th century. He was drawing mainly on the work of Shantideva, author of Bodhisattva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, is the way it's usually transmitted, and also Lama Atisha, who had a lot of different texts that he drew on. So we will begin with our prayers and some meditation. If Linda can, okay. And if everybody can mute themselves, I'll read the prayers out and you can read along at home, but otherwise there's a lot of feedback that makes it somewhat chaotic. So we'll read Refuge in Bodhicitta 3 times, 4 Immeasurables 3 times, and then the short mandala offering. And the prayers are to help prepare our mind so that we get the most benefit from the discussion that's to follow. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. This ground, anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratna Mandala Kam Niryatayami. And now we'll begin with some meditation. I imagine most people are sitting in a chair, so have your back a little bit straighter than you normally sit. Don't lean back, but nice straight, but not rigid back. If you are on a cushion, sit towards the front of the cushion with your back straight. Head maybe a couple degrees in front of the vertical, but otherwise not tilted to one side or the other. Eyes either very lightly closed or slightly open. Mouth lightly closed with the tongue on the hard palate behind the upper teeth. Shoulders down a little bit back so our chest is opened up. Upper arms away from the sides of our body. Right hand on left with thumbs touching, slightly below the level of the navel. If we're in a chair, our feet are flat on the floor. It's fine to put a cushion underneath them. If we're sitting on a cushion, our legs are crossed in a position that we find comfortable. The point of the posture is that it is self-maintaining and non-distracting, so that when we establish it, it's not a source of distraction during the meditation. So start at the top of your head and work down and identify any sources of tension or discomfort now and address them so they don't come up over and over again in the meditation. And begin by taking three deep breaths from the abdomen. Slow, deep breaths with the diaphragm being pulled down and the stomach expanding on the in-breath. And then a slow exhalation with the stomach coming back towards the spine as we completely empty the lungs. And do that just three times. And now we allow our breath to return to its normal pattern. And again, we reflect on our motivation, the same motivation that we established with the prayers, the bodhicitta motivation, the idea that everything we do, even something as simple as sitting in meditation for a few minutes, is done to develop our mind so that we may become enlightened in order to benefit others. And that may not seem natural or may not come easily, but just think on that for a minute. That's a new thought that we're developing, a new habit, a new way of thinking. That's what thought transformation is, developing new ways of thinking based on the infinite flexibility of the mind. And having established our motivation, we now begin the actual meditation, a simple concentration meditation. The mind or awareness is on the physical sensation of breath moving in and out through our nostrils. Just mind perceiving breath, not describing it, not visualizing it, not even counting, just direct concentration on the breath. And every time we notice our mind has wandered off, we gently bring it back. And that's mindfulness, remembering the object of concentration, the chosen object, and being aware when we've wandered away. Bring it back gently. It said like bringing back a child who's wandered off the path, and we take them by the hand and gently bring them back to the path. That's the way we treat our mind. So just do that for about the next 7 minutes. And we can end our meditation with a brief dedication. We can acknowledge that we've done something positive. We can rejoice that both in our own virtue, own merit that we've created, and the merit that everyone else here tonight has created. And we can think, may that positive imprint made on my mind stream not be in the future in a way that benefits all sentient beings. And you can relax your concentration. And let's see, Linda, are you able to bring up the 8 verses? Thank you. Okay, this is our root text. I'm just going to read through these. This is something, it'd be easy to memorize this. I can't say that I have, but it'd be very easy to memorize this. Each one of these points can be found typically in various sutras or actual teachings of the Buddha, but they're not organized in this manner there. There's one in this sutra and one in that sutra and one in 5 other sutras. And the sutras are quite long and difficult. And typically we don't read them, but they were in the original teachings of the Buddha that he gave during his lifetime, his open or non-hidden teachings. These are teachings he gave to everyone. And then they, Shantideva, approximately 300 years later, included most of these in his Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. And Lama Atisha included them in his writings. And then Geshe Longri Tampa wrote this version in the 11th century. So he's basically giving us a Cliff Notes version of the Buddha's most core teachings on thought transformation. So he's taken the teachings of the Buddha and really summarized them in this very short and pithy form. So it's good to read these at least a couple times a week while we're in this module. So I'll just read these out loud and you can read along with me. Determined to accomplish all success, I shall always practice holding dear all sentient beings who are more precious than wish-fulfilling gems. Wherever I go and whomever I accompany, I shall practice seeing myself as the lowest of all and sincerely hold others dear and supreme. In all actions, I shall examine my mind, and the moment an unsubdued thought arises, endangering myself and others, I shall face and avert it. Whenever I see a being of wicked nature who is overwhelmed by heavy non-virtue and suffering, I shall hold him dear as if I had discovered a precious treasure difficult to find. When out of jealousy others treat me badly with abuse, insult, and the like, I shall practice accepting defeat and offering the victory to others. When someone I have benefited and in whom I have great hopes gives me great harm, I shall practice regarding him or her as my holy guru. In short, both directly and indirectly, I offer every benefit and happiness to all my mothers. Secretly, I shall practice taking all their harmful actions and suffering upon myself. With all these practices undefiled by the stains of the superstitions of the 8 worldly dharmas, by perceiving all dharmas as illusory, I shall practice without grasping to release all sentient beings from bondage. So it really leads up to that last one. Tonight we'll be talking about verse 7. But these are ways of transforming our thoughts. For most of us, none of these come naturally or are habitual ways of thinking. But the Buddha said that if we understand the nature of the mind, that nothing in the mind is fixed or unchanging, that everything in the mind is temporary and passing, that with study, with meditation, with discussion, and with bringing the teachings into our everyday life, we can actually train our mind so that these thoughts arise spontaneously. We're not gritting our teeth and forcing them out, but this is the natural way we react to the world around us. Okay, so we're talking about thought transformation. We're not talking about changing the world around us. We don't have the power to do that, okay? People will still be there. Difficult situations will still arise. Things won't go as we expect. What we can do is change our mind, the way we react to those experiences, so that rather becoming sources of suffering, they actually become sources of great joy. It seems almost unimaginable, but it says that that's what great practitioners, they welcome problems. They love to have problems, or what we would identify as problems, because they see that as the opportunity to grow. And they say, problems, great, bring them on. So tonight we're going to talk about number 7. I'll read that again. In short, both directly and indirectly, I offer every benefit and happiness to all my mothers. Secretly, I shall practice taking all their harmful actions and suffering upon myself.
Robbie, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we do have a comment in the chat box asking about different variations of these 8 verses of thought transformation. Can you address that real quick before you continue?
Well, there are lots of different translations. As most people know, the translation from Tibetan, particularly from Dharma Tibetan, is very, there are lots of thoughts about it, lots of controversy. A lot of translations were originally made 100 years ago, and lots of people say some words were kind of became common usage in translation that aren't really accurate. So you will find a lot of translations. This is a version by His Holiness the Dalai Lama, but I'm sure he would encourage you to look at other versions also. But they're generally going to be titled something along the line of 8 verses of thought transformation. Yeah, and you'll see lots of different versions. Yeah. Alex Berzman has one on his website that's nearly every other word is different, but the you can see how the thought is the same. So, yeah, that's a translation issue. Let me just change my view here for a minute. Okay, so number 7. This is what what people refer to when they refer to the practice of Tonglen. Okay, that's 2 words: T-O-N-G-L-E-N. And this is a very widespread and common practice among different traditions in Tibetan Buddhism. For a lot of people, it is their main practice, main thing they practice. A lot of people find it very moving, very powerful. It's typically translated as taking and giving. Actually, it's more, I don't know which is more accurate. I think of it as giving and taking because that's the way it's presented in the Guru Puja. And the idea is this is the practice of giving happiness to others and taking their sufferings. Okay. That mental attitude of giving happiness to everyone, our friends, our families, our coworkers, those people we don't really like, those people who we really dislike, and those people and creatures and beings who we've never even met. So we give them happiness, and in return, we take from them their sufferings, the suffering of those we're close to, those we don't like, those we don't even know. Some people find that's a very special and meaningful practice. Some people have a lot of issues with it, okay? Or it doesn't seems difficult. Okay, we are not actually making them happy. We are not literally taking away their sufferings. We are developing a mind that is completely willing and is completely dedicated to doing that. Okay, so it's we're playing a little bit of a mind trick in that other people have their own karma. I cannot change their karma. Even the Buddha, a completely enlightened being, cannot literally take away the sufferings of others, or he would have done that. But he has a mind that is completely willing to do that if it's able, and he thinks that way continuously. May you be happy. May I give you happiness. May I take your suffering. May I give you happiness. May I take your suffering. And so this is a practice we do. A lot of people find it difficult to say that I'm taking on the suffering of other people. That's fine. If it doesn't speak to you or if you find it difficult, that's okay. And I think it's good to break it down into parts. I think that for me, the first thing is to start with the thought, I give you happiness. May you be happiness. And we meditate on that, and you can start with yourself, actually. And as in this meditation, the more specific you are, the more powerful it is. So you can actually visualize that you're sitting in front of yourself, you're looking at yourself, and you're just thinking, may you be happy. May you be happy. And that's love, okay? That's the Buddhist definition of love, the wish that others be happy, okay? So we can start with ourselves. If that's too loaded, you don't have to do that. You can take someone you feel very kindly to, your children, your spouse, your partner, a wonderful teacher you've had, and you can just, again, the more precise, the more specific you make it, the more value you'll get from the meditation. So let's just start with that part, okay? We're just going to sit quietly for a couple minutes. Pick one or two people. You can include yourself if you want to. You can, if you're ready for it, you can choose someone whom you're having problems with, okay? And you imagine that they're sitting in front of you. They're real. They're life-size. They're looking back at you. And just say to yourself, may you be happy. May you be happy. We typically do this meditation on the breath, which makes it a little bit more elaborate. So every time you breathe out, think, may you be happy, and imagine you're breathing out beautiful white light, happiness in the form of white light. May you be happy. May you be happy. and you can relax your concentration. So that's the giving part. And if you find that you want to just stick with that, that's perfectly okay. The taking part, again, specific people in front of you, and you say, may I take your suffering away? May I take your suffering on? I think that's a very easy thing to think with children or people we're very close to. May I suffer rather than you? I mean, it's almost Christ-like, even though you're not, you know, this is not meant to be self-aggrandizing or self-grandiosity, but I think that's always possible. But may, it's developing that mind. I am taking your suffering. I am taking your problems. And this is compassion, the wish that others be free of suffering. So we're giving love and compassion, okay? And again, this is done on the breath. This is done on the in-breath. May I take your suffering. So we imagine on the in-breath that their suffering in the form of black smoke, if you want to get into the visualization, we breathe that in, okay? So again, let's practice this a little bit on the meditation. We'll do just the taking part, okay? So again, we have someone in front of us. Again, let's start with someone, for most of us, someone we feel favorably towards. If you want to choose someone else, that's fine. And just on the in-breath, may I take your suffering. And imagine we're breathing in black smoke. May you be free of suffering. May I take your suffering on. Okay, and you can relax your concentration. And for most people, that's more difficult. The idea of voluntarily taking on the suffering of others is not the way we normally think. And so then we put the two together, okay? Breathing out happiness, breathing in their suffering. Okay, we breathe out white light, we breathe in black smoke. We breathe out white light, we breathe in black smoke. Now it may take some practice. I mean, you don't want to get to where you're just huffing and puffing away and not really getting the point of the meditation. It takes some practice to really do it skillfully on each breath, but let's give that a try. We'll have that person in front of us again, or people. We'll begin with the out breath. Happiness in the form of white light. Taking their suffering on the in breath. And you can alternate nostrils if you, or visualize alternating nostrils, the white light coming from the right nostril, the black smoke going in the left nostril. Giving happiness, taking suffering. Giving happiness. Taking suffering. Giving happiness, taking suffering. Okay, and you can relax your concentration. And then to make the visualization in the meditation even stronger, but more complicated, again, you don't have to add this in, but it's something to try. We imagine that our heart is encased in solid rock in the center of our chest. And we imagine, we visualize, it just means to imagine, that the black smoke comes in and is changed into a bolt of lightning that travels down in our chest, shatters that rock, and white light comes out and flows out in the form of happiness. So by taking on the suffering, we shatter that rock surrounding our heart and allow the beautiful light of happiness to come out. So let's do it one more time and try adding that part of the visualization. So to do that, it makes sense to start with the black smoke first. So again, visualize one person or two people or several people, and ultimately you can, you know, expand your visualization to include as many people as possible. We visualize breathing in their suffering, all their problems, all their unhappiness in the form of black smoke. Which transforms into a bolt of lightning that travels down, shatters the rock encasing our heart, and brilliant white light comes out through our nostril, giving them happiness. That's a lot. And don't tie yourself in knots, but just work with that a little bit for the next couple minutes. And you can relax your concentration. So that's a very brief presentation of the practice of Tonglin. There are many different versions. Don't take what I've talked about here as the only way of doing it. There are lots and lots of variations, and it's taught by a lot of wonderful teachers in different ways. But something to start working with. I think it really is the core of thought transformation. I mean, this is really about undercutting that sense of self-cherishing. And if we found some of the previous verses, you know, difficult or almost ridiculous, I think if we practice Tonglin, then the others, which are also based on eliminating self-cherishing and starting to cherish others, Tong Lin can really change the way our mind works fairly quickly if we practice it on a regular basis. This is something that's very practical here and now. So let me go back and read the verse again, because there are a couple things in here I wanted to explain. In short, both directly and indirectly, I offer every benefit and happiness to all my mothers. Okay, so he's saying, to summarize, directly means if I can do something, if I can actually do something that's going to benefit someone, you know, actually give some food to someone who needs it or help them with a problem, do that, okay? But if you're not able to do that, do this practice, okay? This mental, getting a mind that's willing to do those actions when the opportunity presents itself. So we practice both actually giving people things and we do the meditation of giving them happiness. So that's what he means by directly and indirectly. I offer every benefit and happiness to all my mothers. But mothers is always used in this with the understanding that we've all in previous lifetimes been as close to every sentient being, those we know, those we haven't met, every sentient being in existence, we've been as close to them in some previous lifetime as we have been, as we are as close to our mother of this lifetime. We've been in that close relationship with everyone. So we refer to all sentient beings as our mothers. And if we didn't have a close relationship with our mother in this lifetime, we can say to all my fathers or to all my grandmothers or to all my best friends. But this is one of the root meditations in developing bodhicitta, that we develop a sense of being close to every living being, okay? Not just our family and friends, but close to everyone, even the people who we find difficult. And then secretly, so he says, I shall practice taking all their harmful actions and suffering upon myself. Okay, so he's saying, don't go around telling people you're doing Tong Lin for their benefit. There's no extra merit in that. This is something you do on your cushion. You develop this practice so you develop that mind, but it's not something to broadcast or to pat yourself on the back about. So I shall practice taking all these actions and suffering upon myself. And some people do have a lot of problems with the idea of taking on the suffering of others. You know, they feel like they keep breathing in this black smoke and they're going to burst or explode. And that's where the visualization of it striking your heart is very helpful. And again, we're not actually taking on their sufferings. We're developing a mind that is willing, eager, actually happy to do that if it were possible. Okay. So do we have any comments or questions about Tong Lin?
We do, Robbie. The first one is from Crystal, and she says, wow, powerful to start with yourself, to feel the value that comes from those simple words. May you be well. Powerful, mm-hmm. Great for self healing.
Yeah. And we can, you know, we can visualize ourselves at different times in our lives. You know, if we had a difficult childhood, we can visualize ourselves as a child or in college or whenever. Okay. At times when we weren't particularly happy, we can go back. And I think there is some self-healing that goes in there. Yeah. Thank you, Crystal.
And then Karen shared that she likes having the gallery view up on Zoom. she says, then I can look at your faces while doing the practice. It's nice to see people, right?
Right, yeah. Okay, good.
And then Joy was asking about, she says, when we say all my mothers, is this meant metaphorically?
Yeah.
Oops, I think you just answered that.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, Karen says, yeah, she's supposed to be doing it secretly, yeah.
Well, we're all here.
Oh, well. Yeah, straight to the hell realms, Karen. Too bad. Okay, any other comments before we do the, we'll do the practice for a little bit longer?
No, there's, I don't have anything on YouTube either. So I think
questions about the visualization. And again, if it's too much, I mean, it is, you know, you feel like you're juggling sometimes and you got all this on the breath and the visualization and the person in front of you. That all comes with practice, okay? Remember, visualization is nothing more mystical than just imagining, okay? That's all visualization is. We're just imagining things. And because our thoughts, we're working with our mind, our thoughts, our ability to visualize, our ability to imagine, you know, is as real as anything, okay? That's our reality, what's in our mind. And like all of these, we're just training our mind to think a little bit differently, okay? Being our own therapist here, so to speak. Okay.
I have one question.
Yeah.
It can be taken now or later. And so
go ahead and do it now, okay?
Okay, so every time I meet some people, I feel like I am almost fainting. I just, all my energy, I cannot even stand. So sometimes I feel, is it caused by this tongue wind?
Caused by?
Tongue wind that I'm taking, because I've been studying this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have been sick for last year, like every time I meet certain people, I'm faint, mm-hmm. I'm dropping my energy. And many people told me I'm wondering if it has anything to do with tongue wind that I'm taking.
I don't think so. Yeah, I'm not going to venture get explanations to what's going on because I'm not qualified, I don't think. But Tong Lin, any of these practices should make your mind calmer, more peaceful, or they do make them happier. Okay, so I think what you're experiencing, I don't think you can say that's the result of Tong Lin. Okay, Geshe Donyo, who's a great teacher who came to Kadampa Center many years ago. We think if we become more compassionate, we're going to be sadder because we're thinking about the suffering of others. But he actually said, the more compassionate you are, the calmer and more peaceful your mind is. So if you're having some sort of disturbing thoughts, it's something else going on, but I'm not going to venture in this to say, hazard what it may be. That's really something to talk to a Geshe about.
Okay. And Robbie, there's one more question. I don't know if you want to answer that now. I know you wanted to do the meditation, but it's asking about tackling the visualizations. Should we not tackle visualization until we feel comfortable with the breath?
I think that's completely reasonable. I would do the visualization of somebody in front of you, though, specific people initially. I think that really helps in the beginning. But the smoke and the heart and the lightning, and then we could add some mantra and we could do some hand mudras and we could stand on one foot already. You know, these things get very elaborate. But yeah, I think just working with the breath initially is the key thing. I'll lead you through the visualization, but if you want to tune out that part, that's fine. Yeah. Okay. So we got about 5 minutes to meditate here. So check your posture. Set your motivation for the meditation to follow. Just a short bit of concentration on the breath. Because this is a breath-based meditation. Now we imagine in front of us, real, life-size, warm and breathing, a specific person or people. It can be ourself at some point in our life, someone we're close to, or if we're comfortable with it, someone we have problems with. So begin by really getting clear on that visualization. It's not just a two-dimensional picture in front of you, but the real living being, human being. Now we just imagine each time we breathe out, we're giving them happiness. Just the giving part first. Now each time we breathe in, we take away their suffering. Give happiness, take suffering. Give happiness on the out-breath, take suffering on the in-breath. Happiness, suffering, love, compassion, happiness, suffering. And now if we wish, we can add that the breath of happiness is bright white light. And the breath taking the suffering is breathing in black smoke. And we can add the visualization of the lightning traveling down to our heart, if we wish. If it's too much, don't bother with it. The point is a real sense of wishing them to be happy, wishing them not to suffer. So don't let the visualizations take precedence over that. And you can relax your concentration. So that's one way of doing the Tonglen meditation. And you'll find that that occurs in other places in Buddhism, but it's a thought transformation technique. And so during this week, this our last week, finish all the readings. sit in meditation for 6 times this week. And I would read all 8 verses at the beginning of your meditation. And then I'd like you to do the Tonglen meditation for at least 10 minutes. And then we'll have our last class next week. We have one more verse to go through that has a lot in it, but we're just going to kind of touch on the points there and then do some meditation. And then the teachings with Don will begin the next Tuesday night. Also, I want to remind people about the stupa repair project that's going on. If you need to sign up for that, it's being done with social distancing and under safe conditions, so that's on the website also. And so thank you, everyone, and see you next week. Stay healthy.